This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We're almost there. We're hanging out. It's a beautiful morning. It's game week. Buffalo Bills get ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday night. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer along the ride here from 10 to 12. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio in just about a half hour as the Bills get back on the practice field. We'll have our first injury report of the week a little bit later on in the afternoon. We'll get a word in on the Baltimore Ravens. Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner will join us at 11 a.m. But to kind of start today, a little bit of a vibe check. How are we feeling? It's the midpoint of the week. Some of us had a shorter work week due to Labor Day, so thank goodness for that. But now we're at the midpoint. As I mentioned, first injury reports. It's week one. The season starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow, continues Friday. We get a break from NFL football on Saturday, but not a break from football. The first weekend of college football was fantastic. I know you might have slightly different opinion on that.
I'm fine.
But
we move on.
Exactly. And here we are heading into Sunday. And I loved something that the morning show talked about, which was the perception around the team. The fact that I agree with Jeremy wholeheartedly that the Bills have fixed their perception. At the very least, they fixed the damage that the drought has caused in the past. They fixed it. That nobody thinks about that. The only time you'll get something about the drought is if you are hanging out with like five of your buddies in somebody's garage and somebody just goes, hey, remember Aaron Schobel? Like, that's the only way the drought gets brought up now. The Bills have undone the damage of the drought. And I do think that their perception is as one of the better teams in the NFL now. Again, the one thing that Joe brought up, though, was about nerves of... they got to get this done, though. At the end of the day, you do have to get it done. And I'm sitting here getting ready for Sunday, and I'm kicking my feet back. You want to know why? This isn't what I'd call a win-win scenario, but it's definitely not the worst week one matchup that you can get. Bills and Ravens, it is two of the top teams in the NFL on national television. Say what happened in the regular season last year and week four happens again. And the Bills get stomped around in their primetime matchup against Baltimore. And it happens for the second time in 2 years. I could still turn around and go, everything's fine. Why? Because I could still reliably count on the Bills to get 12 wins in the year, the division. And if the AFC cannibalizes itself this year, you still have a somewhat realistic chance at the one seed no matter what happens in this game. Because you are who you are, you're in the division that it is. Feels weird, doesn't it? Being on the other side of that, already knowing that you should at least at minimum have four division wins. I'm going to give some respect to at least one of these random teams. But if you do anything less than four division wins this year, something has gone catastrophically wrong. It's simple to me to say, it's fine. Take the week for what it is, which is the first NFL game of the season, and don't get too low about this. It has to be something where, yeah, it would be incredibly frustrating if they don't win again. But as long as the Bills have Josh Allen playing the way that he does, I have full confidence that they're going to break through. And I'm not worried about calling anything a do or die year because I'm confident that it is going to happen anyway. Is that wrong? Maybe. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. And I know that that's not a common opinion, but I am perfectly fine with putting it out there that, yeah, I feel great.
I mean, I feel great. Don't get me wrong. And week one is also somewhat of a mirage for many teams. Like, you could dominate your week one opponent, opener, what have you. It's great. Everything's awesome. Look at the Saints last year. It wasn't even just week one. It was like the first month. They looked like an offensive wagon, just scoring over everybody. Everything looked so weak. And then they fell apart, right?
The Bears start 4-2.
Bears start 4-2. Cincinnati kind of regularly starts pretty bad, but can turn it around. And while it doesn't lead to playoffs the last 2 years, they start bad but really turn it on at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, Buffalo has lost some pretty stinkers, you know, in week one games. You lose to a bad Pittsburgh team. Zach Wilson starts as the Jets quarterback. Yeah. You almost lost to the Arizona Cardinals last year. Like, they haven't been – I mean, they're 4-2 in Josh Allen week one starts. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's also, funny enough, 4-2 in Lamar Jackson week one starts. So they're very equal in that sense. But they have not been the prettiest of games, don't get me wrong. But on that point, like, for me, it's less of the I'm nervous it won't get done and week one won't change anything. It's, for me, it's just more I'm less nervous about week one as a complete and utter entity, where it's just it's getting the ball rolling. You want to win, and to be fair, and this will happen, I think, for anybody, if they go out there and they smoke the Ravens or they just beat them, I think most of us will be sitting here kind of in the same vein as the Rams opener from a few years ago, where, oh, man, this is a coronation. Here we go. They're doing this with a questionable secondary, a lot of new pieces on defense. Some guys who might be key contributors are suspended for the first 6 weeks. You know, like, they're doing all of this. This is great. This is amazing. Look how awesome we are. And sometimes that can be fool's gold, right? Like, I brought up the mirage. But I think for week one, it is just more we get the ball rolling. They can still absolutely be the one seed. It's not the nicest start to a season. You'd much rather it be the Saints, who they play in, what, week five? You know, I think Baltimore would probably say the same thing. They wish they were playing Cleveland and said Cincinnati's playing Cleveland. They both have to go through this, and both, fun enough, have the same issues. They both have that quote-unquote Kansas City problem, because you can argue Baltimore, who is 0-2 against Josh Allen and the Bills in the playoffs, have a Buffalo problem as well. But I think both teams would much rather start against a different opponent. We already know for the Ravens, Isaiah Likely, at least through reports, is going to be out this game. They've had other guys as well who have picked up injuries that they maybe don't know are going to be able to play, Jaire Alexander being one of them. Patrick Ricard, their fullback, who's pretty instrumental to their run game. It's not, you know, it's not end-all be-all, I think, for either team. Most of us expect that the 11-12 wins for either. I think the difference for me, and like you brought up, Derek, is the division. Baltimore does not have the easiest path to 5-1 in the division, 4-2 in the division. I mentioned Cincinnati. They're always a tough out for Baltimore. Pittsburgh is regularly a pretty tough out for Baltimore. Those games are really aggressive, where for the Bills, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker for the Jets looks to be out for a long period of time after picking, I believe, an arm injury that he's going to have surgery. I think I saw the report from Diana Rossini. New England is a complete and utter unknown. Most people like them. They think they're better, but they were atrocious last year. So how much really is better? And then the Dolphins seem to be completely going in the wrong direction. They are not in any kind of way good vibes, good feelings around them. I think that's a big part of it for me is just – and I've mentioned it. Like, I've been preaching patience. A lot of that has come from the injuries they picked up in the offseason. Bishop has missed some time in training camp. Max Harrison missed almost all of training camp and will miss at least the first 4 weeks. That's not ideal. So the expectation is the defense will not be what it's going to be in October, let alone December. And so that's where, for me, is I'm not going to be freaking out if the run defense or the pass defense isn't, you know, up to snuff, if third down defense isn't still great. But as the season goes along, I will get a little more nervous. I used to be where you were at with the, I just think they'll get it done. It's going to happen. Like, I just, you know, stay the course. I'm starting to sway a little bit there, to be perfectly honest. I'm starting to sway a little bit. The years have started to go on. They still can't get past the Chiefs in the first round. I've started to also look more at the NFC, and those teams are starting to get better. More talented young quarterbacks are starting to make their way over to the NFC as teams got worse. I mean, I'm a J.J. McCarthy truther. The Eagles look like a super team that could at least probably go for the next few years here. So I am starting to get a little nervous, and it does feel like the next 2 or 3 years has to be when they get through. The AFC West is loaded. It's not just the Chiefs anymore. They won't have a free gift to the division. It will be a battle. I already mentioned the AFC North. But if New England hits, the Bills in very short time will have a rival in the AFC East. And May is not Mac Jones. He is an elite physical talent that could, if he hits and they do right around him, could be able to, you know, kind of not necessarily do what Allen does, but in a certain sense, take a less talented team to 11-12 wins.
And I wanted to go back on something that you said about, like, the season openers and everything like that. Facing Baltimore kind of, I'm not going to say it excuses a loss, but you brought up the word Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have lost more frustrating week one openers with this group, this quarterback, this coach. They've lost a worse week one opener. Probably there's nothing more unforgivable than that. So if they lose to the Ravens, it's not Zach Wilson and the Jets. And that's not to forgive. You started 0-1. It's not great. As a matter of fact, if I tried to say that to the locker room, good luck to me on that endeavor. So the players would know. But for any fans that would be freaking out about it, just don't, is really how I'd say it. Try to keep your peace as long as you can.
Well, especially, we got 17 of these.
We got 17 of these. It is a marathon.
They will lose games.
Nothing is on fire if they lose week one against the Baltimore Ravens. I can assure you that. Please, believe me.
It's why I've absolutely moved away from, want a big week one game. No. Yeah. I want to play Cleveland. I want to play Arizona.
This
I just want to get the season underway.
This is literally, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you get a win, you get a win. If you get a loss, it's a loss. The how, I'm not worried about either one of them. But to get to the bigger point here, and that is, you know, what this season can be when it comes to stress levels for anyone watching or how imperative it is. And I think that this season in a pocket is kind of an evaluation as well. Because you mentioned it, the Chiefs now might have a harder road ahead than they have had in years past. The Bills currently do not. They may, for example, if New England were to step up. The North is still a brutal division that beats the heck out of each other.
Yeah, it's the North.
So with that, you should break through because I believe that you have the talent to do it anyway, right? Even in the circumstances that have been presented known as the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And am I worried about them necessarily? No. Because the Bills are good enough. And throughout the years, they're also the only team that really pushes back in the AFC outside of Cincinnati. When it comes to Kansas City and Kansas City alone, Baltimore doesn't give them fits. Cincinnati gave them fits and then removed themselves from the conversation. Buffalo every year at least punches Kansas City in the mouth. The Chiefs could have had an undefeated season if not for the Bills, because they wouldn't have probably sat on the laurels with the Broncos game at that point. Maybe they actually try for an undefeated mm-hmm. season because they have a legitimate shot at it. So then for me, it is, again, the Bills are the ones that they get in the way, they stand up to you in Kansas City. That's why I'm not as concerned, because I do see a team that does beat the Chiefs. It's in the regular season, but they do it. And considering that hardly anybody else, literally only one team in the AFC one time has beaten the Chiefs in the postseason, I'm more confident in the team that pushes back. Because they've shown me what nobody else does. The Chiefs will dominate an entire season, and they lose to the Bills. The Chiefs will have a 13-win season, but one of those losses is to the Bills. Yes, I understand the importance of making sure that it's done in January instead. Or also.
Mm-hmm.
And in those games, the Bills don't roll over and die either. That's the important part. They will break through because they've shown that they can break through. That's why I'm not as worried. They've shown it to me. Now it just has to all come together in the right spot. Because outside, if the Bills lose to Kansas City, you can clip this, but I'm already going to have gone mad and I will not be able to comprehend it. Because then this becomes like the Toronto Maple Leafs against Game 7's kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what to do at this point anymore. Then it becomes an unsolvable question.
I think a lot of people know what they would do if that happens.
Yes.
We don't have to have that conversation today, but I think a lot of people know what
a lot of people probably know the next step that they'd want to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not disagree at that point, because then it's what? You've lost six in a row in the playoffs to these guys. You clearly have a problem. But let's get to there first, honestly, is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to worry about necessarily, oh, like this might be a do-or-die season, for example. If it's week one, like, try to enjoy it the best that we can right now and let the stress levels all inflate in January.
Right.
Let's all get there together. We don't have to start at 100. We could start at zero. And then as the season gets closer to January and like we're getting closer to the time where the stress level should be higher, let's all get high blood pressure together, okay?
803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check as we're at the midpoint of the week. We'll get injury report later on this afternoon. The Bills will be practicing a little after noon. Sal Capaccio going to jump on the show a little under 15 minutes from now. But let's go to the phones here, and we'll start today off with Brandon on the line. Brandon, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I just want to call in real quick, and I just want to say I think the mentality of having where the do or bust mentality is kind of a good mentality mm-hmm. that I think Buffalo or Bills Mafia should have at this point. I know a lot of the players, I don't know when it was, but I think they interviewed Deion Dawkins and they asked him, do he have the do or bust mentality? And he said, no. He said, basically, they know they're going to get the job done, so on and so forth. The reason why I think that's a very dangerous mentality for us, because I just look at Josh Allen and I look at how long, and I know this is a stupid question, but how much longer mm-hmm. can Josh Allen do the things that he do and pull off the things that he pulls off? And how much longer can we have Josh Allen? Or will we go a whole another 3 years or 4 years? And hopefully I know that we'll get it done. But let's say if we don't, will we be the team that got there but could have gotten done with Josh Allen and now we got to go through the draft pick to get another quarterback just like him? So the reason why I say that the doer bust mentality is kind of a good thing to have, where I just feel the AFC is getting the competition around you is getting better and better. Like you say, even the NFC, they're getting better over there. But look in our backyard, like the Patriots, they might be good this year. The Jets might be good. Miami, we all say they're going to be bad, but what if Miami's good? You know, I just feel like the competition around us is getting better and better. And I just feel like, when is it going to get done? And I feel like the do or bust mentality is very, very needed in my opinion, because if you have that relaxed mentality, well, we'll get it done. Every year, I just feel like, how long can Josh go in his prime? How better can you be from MVP, or how better can Josh have a better year than he had last mm-hmm. year? And that's all I wanted to say, man. I just want to say thank you guys for the good work, and I'll listen in.
Thanks Brandon.
For players, the do or die mentality is great. For fans, it might be unhealthy, is probably the best way I'll say it. Like, yes, we take this in within this city, and it does mean something, and it means something probably heavier within Buffalo than it does in other cities. But at the end of the day, to be a fan and say there is a do or die mentality, that's not healthy, especially in 1 year. You mentioned even in the call, Brandon, that within the next 3 or 4 years, context matters. Because in those next 3 or 4 years, is it just Kansas City still? Did Baltimore finally break through? Did another team emerge? Or is this an entire AFC, you're fraudulent conversation? Context will matter in that. But that's also 3 or 4 years down the line. It is not now. It is not this year. And we've did this a couple years ago when it was all the bring the band back together for one last ride. I think it was 2022 or 23. Both of those years, actually. Where it's the last hurrah with this current core. And in 2023, we were all miserable. Because they were not playing up to par. But it was also the higher expectations. It's not the healthiest thing in the world to have a do-or-die mindset for a fan. The locker room, I believe the locker room is going to have it. Why? Because they know that careers are not going to be something that are held onto forever. So try to enjoy it for what it is, which is, this is a good team. And you're in the conversation every year. The thing that is going to be the driving force is, can they break through? Because we, here, media, fans, we have nothing to do with it at the end of the day. There's nothing we can say or do that makes a difference. And I know that that sounds like a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also the reality. The locker room, I think, has the right mindset because the way Deion Dawkins talked about it is also confidence. And if you're a pro athlete, you better have confidence.
Yeah, it needs to be almost irrational. I think for me, though, I can understand a fan that feeling because I somewhat get there as well. No, you don't want to have the do-or-die mentality, and I can understand it can be a little unhealthy, but you also don't want to be and I think you're right, too, with this city in particular. You don't want to have another generation effectively has their 4 Super Bowl straight losses. Just this would be, oh, cool, instead of being second fiddle to Dallas, you're second fiddle to Kansas City. You couldn't even make it to the Super Bowl because the dynasty of the era was in the AFC. You don't want to almost have that become like a rite of passage in the city, is that eventually you're going to have to deal with having a generational team that's going to be awesome. You'll love every second of it, and in the end, it'll suck. And that's, I think, where most people get the worries, the fears from. Like, I'm almost there with Brandon, where like you do start to sit there and think about the long term of like, okay, how many more drafts before we are having a genuine conversation of, guys, we need to draft Josh's replacement? You want to have a Super Bowl already in-house at that point. And to Jeremy's point from this morning, you don't want to get there to where winning a Super Bowl is not a joyous occasion, but a relief. I, though, will somewhat disagree. I think winning any sports championship is somewhat of a relief. There is, of course, the jubilation, the excitement. But I think for most fandoms, it is a thank goodness we finally did it, or thank goodness we did it. Because either you had high expectations, you met them, awesome. Or you're a team like Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit, Houston, Jacksonville, Carol, these teams that have never won a Super Bowl, thank bleep we finally did it. I think there's always going to be that sense of it's over, thank goodness. You just don't want it to completely envelop an era of an organization. And the Bills of this era are getting dangerously close to that. Now, you've brought up the context matters. Really, Cincinnati's been the only team to get through. They lost their one opportunity against the Rams, sure. But Baltimore does still have 2 Super Bowl championships. They've won it in 2 different eras. Now, ultimately, with Ray Lewis and some of those defensive guys still being there. But they won their championships. Buffalo doesn't have that yet. And I think that's where it does become almost more painful for many of these organizations is, even with this generational quarterback, Allen will likely retire as a top 10 QB, regardless of Super Bowl wins or not. Look at guys like Dan Marino. But you want to look back at that era, because let's be honest, that's where Super Bowl wins come from. They come from generational players. You won't get this guy again, what have you. You don't want to leave that era going, great, and what'd we get out of it? Division titles? How much does that mean in professional sports? 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio joins the show next. The Bills are back at practice today a little after noon. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 11:45, hopefully getting an update on Trey White.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We'll hear from Sal coming up next. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills get back to work later today. We'll hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott in a little over an hour. Don't know if we'll be able to play it here live for you on WGR, but next guy that's coming up here on the Wester Hotline, Sal Capaccio, will be able to keep you covered at Sal Sports over on Twitter. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a beautiful day out here. I'm in the just outside the Bills media room, and it's amazing, right? You got the new stadium coming up here, and people are going to see that for the first time on Sunday, maybe. A lot of people got the current stadium where the game will be played this Sunday. And then I'm kind of in between the triangle here and then the practice field right over whatever shoulder I turn over here, and they're going to be out on the field here today getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful September afternoon.
Sal, me and Derek were talking there in that first segment, kind of the feelings going into this game. You know, it is week one. It can at many times be a mirage for a team's season, good or bad. What are your feelings going into this matchup? I mean, it is two juggernauts going up against each other to open up the year.
Well, there's two parts of it. There's the overall, you know, season opener, what I think about, you know, how it plays out. And I think that it's a long season, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. How many times have we seen the Bills? I mean, heck, they beat the Patriots 31-0 one year to open the season. that season didn't turn out great. You know, they lost the season opener 2 years ago on Monday Night Football at the Jets on a punt return touchdown in overtime. They still went on to win the division championship that year. Last year, they beat the Ravens. I'm sorry, they beat the Chiefs, but still had to go to their place during the playoffs because the Chiefs were still the higher seed. Yet the Ravens crushed the Bills, and the Bills still hosted the Ravens. So this is not the end-all be-all this week, but it's a monster game, and it can be, right? I mean, meaning like you could look back on it and say, man, at the end of the year, geez, if you just would have got that game. Either team could say that. It doesn't have to be that way, though. But that being said, I mean, this is a really, really good matchup. I think anybody who looks at the week one matchup schedule says this might be the best game of the weekend. I think people have ranked it already number one, and, you know, rightfully so. It's the last two league MVPs, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. It is two teams that just played in January here in this stadium. The last time the Ravens played a football game, their season ended at the hands of the Buffalo Bills. You don't think they want to get back here and have some revenge on their mind? Of course they do. So I think a lot of things go into this matchup from a big picture standpoint and a microscope type of standpoint.
We do have some injuries on the Ravens side of things. Isaiah Likely, the report is today, while he is progressing well, will not be playing week one. And then the other two names, I know, Sal, you've brought them up to kind of keep an eye on, is Patrick Ricard, the team's fullback, and then Jaire Alexander, one of their new additions at corner. So it's not really just the Bills that are dealing with injuries. Hopefully we'll get a word on that, namely Trey White.
Yeah, so today's the first day that we'll have an official participation and injury report, meaning we'll know if a guy is limited or full or doesn't practice, and we'll know exactly what the issue is. I mean, we'll see what it's listed at for Trey White. If he's listed at all, he might be. I mean, if Sean McDermott tells us he's a full participant, then we don't really get him on there at all on the report. If he says he's limited, he'll tell us why. If he says that he is out, he'll tell us why. Or at least we'll get that a little bit later in the day, even if Sean doesn't specifically state it, when we hear from him at 11:45 a.m. The Bills, Tre'Davious White, I think, is the number one guy that we're all watching for and going to be kind of on the lookout to see not only what McDermott says, but on the practice field if he is practicing. Christian Benford too, though, guys. I mean, both starting corners. The last time I was here, last week, for the last time the media was allowed to be at practice, neither of the Bills' starting corners practiced. It's not just Tre'Davious White. It's Christian Benford. And, you know, you hope you have both of them, obviously, available today, but certainly for the game on Sunday. So we'll see where that goes. Tyler Bass still dealing with his injury. But, you know, he was good to go in Tampa. Everything looked good, seemed good. We did miss that late field goal, and then the Bills worked out some kickers. Was there anything to that? I don't know. Could be just be due diligence. We'll see. And then on the other side, you're right about that. We know now that Isaiah Likely won't play, according to a report earlier today. I think Ian Rappaport had that. Now, that said, it wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, Isaiah Likely hasn't practiced or done anything on a football field in like 5-6 weeks. It would have been stunning to me if he would have showed up at practice and just played this week. I mean, even if he comes back to practice, I think that's a tough task for anybody. Get back in football shape, make sure you're good to go. I think they expect his return in the next couple of weeks. Jaire Alexander, I mean, he hasn't practiced since early August, I believe, guys. Like, had his knee drained. Again, another guy where even if he's at practice this week, how much is he doing, right? That's one of those situations where maybe he's just not ready to go. We'll see. We'll hear from John Harbaugh later, or the Ravens media will. We'll keep an eye out for that, get an update. And then the one that I really think is interesting is Patrick Ricard. And I say that because, yeah, fullback, right? Okay, well, how much does a fullback matter? Well, I think in this matchup it matters. This guy is somebody who the Ravens like to put on the field against the Bills. They like to go heavy against the Bills. They run straight at him. The Bills are a lighter defense traditionally. They got a little bit bigger this offseason. Patrick Ricard, wasn't it him, by the way, who hit Ed Oliver on that wham block earlier in the first game when Derrick Henry went the distance? I can't remember for sure. I thought it might have been him. But, like, this is a guy that is important to their offense. He hasn't practiced in a couple weeks. It's what I've read is a soft tissue injury, but we don't know what that exact injury is. So, little mystery surrounding that.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as the Bills get back to practice today officially for Ravens Week. Sal, we've made it to week one of the NFL season. And the good news here is we also now get to see in its true capacity the new-look defensive line. Joey Bosa will be in, ready to go. Those rookie defensive tackles who really put up the most promise in that Tampa Bay, that last preseason game, really kind of looking almost out of place, like they shouldn't have been there. But now it is an opportunity. The reps are all live. We now get to see the new look defense that the Bills put a lot of resources into. Whether the health at cornerback two is there or not will be determined. But we do know that the defensive line is healthy, and I'm very interested in the impact that Bosa, Sanders, and Walker will all be able to bring for the first time in Bills uniforms.
Yeah, the defensive line is healthy except for Dwayne Carter, who suffered his torn Achilles last weekend, right? And I know that, you know, what you mean by the other guys, you're right, but it's unfortunate for him, right? So they lose a guy out of their rotation. But from what I saw in preseason and training camp, I wouldn't have been surprised if Deion Walker and TJ Sanders kind of passed him anyway as far as how often they'd be on the field on the depth chart. You never want to lose a young player, especially a depth player that can help at a spot where you like to shuttle guys in and out. But Dwayne Carter is going to be out for the year. We'll see what the move there is. The Bills have not officially put him on an injured reserve. That being said, they'll do that later this week. But that being said, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, I'm very interested as well. I mean, I don't know if Landon Jackson factors into the Bills' plans early in the season. Could be a guy that doesn't get a game day jersey. I don't think he's shown enough for me to kind of be confident that they would put him out there amongst that group that you mentioned. You have Joey Bosa, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, Javon Solomon, on top of the guys, the young guys you mentioned, Deion Walker and TJ Sanders to go along with Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver. That seems to be your eight-man rotation along the entire defensive line. I think Deion Walker had a really, really strong rookie preseason in camp. I think TJ Sanders did, but if it wasn't for Deion Walker and how good he looked, maybe we'd be talking more about TJ Sanders. But I think Deion Walker looked really, really good. But we'll see. I mean, this is now big boy football. What I mean by that is there's game plans going on now. And, you know, you're going against, well, maybe not Patrick Ricard here, but a Derrick Henry team and, you know, Baltimore Ravens veteran offensive line, veteran coaching staff. You know, this is a little different than just going out there in the preseason and being able to kind of bully some people who might not be making the team. So we'll see what happens with Deion Walker. You hope that that continues to translate. I'm with you, Derek, on Joey Bosa. I'm really excited for him and to see him in a Bills uniform. I think if there's been a really pleasant, like, kind of outcome for anything here in training camp, there's been a lot, I'm sure. One of them for me would be Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa stayed healthy and looked good, and I think that was a really, really big boost to the Bills defense to know that coming out of camp and heading into this game.
Yeah, Sal, I mean, I think for fans, especially if you weren't able to go to any camps, we got kind of like a 15 real minute kind of preview of Bosa in the week one or the preseason week one game. He looked really, really good. And you're right. One of the positives has been a guy that many of us were joking. Does he actually have to play the regular season? We could just put him in bubble wrap and get him in the postseason. He stayed healthy. It's a good sign. This morning, though, Field Yates reported the Bills did create $8 million in cap by restructuring Deion Dawkins' deal. That's not, I don't think, too surprising. But, Sal, in terms of this, maybe we probably shouldn't be expecting a big move or anything like that. It's probably just more for them to operate.
Yeah, that's right. Good call. And you're right about that. And I hope that everybody understands that and puts it into context. Listen, anything can happen because they do have some money available to them now, right? But this is a standard operating procedure this time of year. The Bills weren't the only team. There were other teams that did this. But the Bills, a few weeks ago, weren't even going to be cap compliant, basically, once they got to a 53-man roster. We always talk about the top 51 rule. Only the top 51 salary caps count up until when you make the 53-man roster. Once that happens, you got to count another couple of salaries. The Bills were right up against the cap. Then, throughout the season, injuries happen. You have to sign players. You can't just do it on the fly. You got to be ready to rock and roll and to go get somebody. And if someone does come available, you can have that ability to go out there and make a move. So they created some move. They created some room, restructured Deion Dawkins. My assumption is this actually happened last week, guys, when they went to the 53-man roster. But it doesn't hit the what they call the system. It goes in, the paperwork has to be processed, which is why we're finding out now. Like, the Bills didn't announce anything, so you kind of have to wait for it to go. Yes, it counts when it happens, but it doesn't actually hit the system where people can see it and report on it until later. So I'm not here to tell you the Bills aren't going to make a move. I just don't expect something like that right now, because they would have the ability to do that if they wanted. This is more about having room for injury replacement costs and to make a move if something were to come about.
Speaking of moves, this came from yesterday, a report, nothing official from the team, but Gabe Davis does appear to be on his way back to Buffalo. He joins Poyer and Phillips as the two other former Bills making their return to the practice squad. Phillips, though, may not be on there too much longer with Carter's injury.
I'm interested what they do with that extra roster spot. It could be Phillips getting a contract. It could be Zion Logue, actually, guys. Mm-hmm. I like, he's 6'6", 313, right? He's a guy that I think they like. They had him on the practice squad most of last year. He played in a little bit of regular season for them last year. They could also decide to just sign a guy to the 53-man roster on another at another position that could help somewhere, and then just elevate somebody like a Jordan Phillips, like a Zion Logue, and still have them available to play in a game like this and kind of play, you know, a bit of roster gymnastics, as we like to say. As far as Gabe Davis is concerned, yeah, we'll see him today, most likely. He'll be back on the field with the team. Reportedly did agree to terms on a practice squad contract. Now, it's being reported as, hey, what did Schefter say? Practice squad for now, as he still recovers from his injury. From everything that I've understood, going back several months, talking with people who know Gabe very well, he was in a position where he was rehabbing a lot, and he wanted to wait until he was a lot more healthy to be able to sign with the team, and teams wanted to wait until he was healthy. Once that happened, you'd get to this point. And it seems like the Bills are comfortable. Gabe Davis is comfortable. He's back. Now it's, hey, how healthy is he? And when, at what point does he become a factor in maybe getting on the 53-man roster? That's all to be determined. We have to see. I just find it hard to believe, for me, from my perspective, This is unlike Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is an older player who doesn't have as much left. We saw the decline the last couple of years, but he's still a guy that you can rely on to be helping prep and break glass in case of emergency for a game or two to know the system. This is a 26-year-old receiver in Gabe Davis who's put in time in this league and had some big games. And I know it's been inconsistent in Buffalo. I get it. But you could do a lot worse than a guy like Gabe Davis on your practice squad, I'll tell you that. I have a hard time believing that he's here to be only on the practice squad for the whole year. At some point, I'd expect Gabe Davis to be on this roster. I just don't know how and when that would be.
And I think that's the thing too, Sal. Like, we've talked about it. The value the Bills got from him in the fourth round is, like, that's what you're looking for. If you can get that done, that's great. It just, you know, he wasn't a wide receiver two for them. But if he's a wide receiver three, four, midpoint of the year, yeah, you're right. You could do a lot worse with that. But last thing here for me, Sal, before we let you get ready for practice and for Sean McDermott speaking here in just a little while, sticking with the offense, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, they're two guys that I think for many Bills fans have to have bigger years. Coleman, though, it seems like the last month or so of camp really started to stack good, if not great, days.
Yeah, I think both did, actually. I think Dalton Kincaid really looked really good especially once they got back to Buffalo. Like, I thought he was on a nice trajectory. But to your Keon Coleman point, not only did we see that, you know, from what we could see, you just hear everyone talking about him, right? You guys have heard it. Deion Dawkins has raved about him. I don't know if you heard Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and their show on TV, but I watched that interview, and, man, he just continued his high praise and raving like he did for us here in the local media a couple weeks ago about Keon Coleman. And he keeps saying basically the words in so many ways, watch out, league, like, watch out, you don't understand what this guy's about to do. Well, you hope that comes to fruition for the Buffalo Bills, because they need it to come to fruition. They need their two young recent high picks pass catchers to break out and become a factor. If one does and not the other, that's still good. But if both can do that in some capacity, my goodness, that would really help this offense. I know it's an offense that still broke records, scored 30 points last year a game, over 30 points a game. But my goodness, like, these guys are really important to what they want to do. I'm excited to see Keon Coleman. I thought it was interesting that
we may have lost Sal. Oh, there he is.
Oh, there you go. I mean, I'm sorry. You guys got me all right?
Yep, the last we got was that you were excited about Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I was. I'm excited about Keon Coleman. And I will tell you, one thing that's interesting to me is he wasn't featured on Hard Knocks at all, right?
Right.
Remember all summer we talked about how he'd be a great guy to be featured on Hard Knocks, right? And I wonder, like, I think I get, now that I'm putting, like, a lot together and, like, what people are saying about him and how he's going about his work, I think it's just like, hey, I don't want a part of that. I'm working here. I'm a football player. I want to do my football thing. I don't need to be featured or talking. And I just think that's pretty cool if you kind of put that all together and feel like, okay, this is a guy that's very, I'm going to use the word I used, and then Joe Brady used it too, ironically, which was really cool. I think he's just been very intentional how he's gone about his business, and I think that's cool.
It's a good sign, too, from a 21-year-old in the second year, if that is the case, to be that mature to realize, all right, I got to lock in here. Sal, before we let you go, schedule for today, we've already mentioned McDermott will speak, Bills practice and such.
Yeah, so Bills will be on the practice field a little after noon. Sean McDermott speaks at 11:45. Right before that, we'll get an update on injuries participation report. And then after practice, we will hear from the two captains once again, voted by their team, Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. They will speak at the podium. And then, of course, we'll get locker room sound. I'll be in there grabbing some different players. Hoping to hear from Gabe Davis today. Don't know if that's going to be the case. We'll see where that goes. But we're wrapping it up, guys. It's what they call media day down here at One Bills Drive, because it's the day. Wednesday, when a team plays on Sunday, Wednesday's the day when the media kind of descends upon the facility to hear and get more media coverage and hear sound, and that's today.
All right, Sal. Enjoy today. Well, let's go get ready for that, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get a word in on the Baltimore Ravens. Kyle Goon, the Baltimore Banner, will join us at 11 a.m. But 803-0550, the number to call. You want to get your thoughts in as we head into week one. Chris, if you hold on the line, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Wrapping up hour number one on a Wednesday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I promised it when we went to break, and so we'll keep that promise. We'll go to the phones. Chris is with us next. Chris, how are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
So I was just calling in. I feel like this whole offseason, all I've heard about is New England's going to be better. Drake May's going to be really good. I don't disagree that he's going to be a good quarterback, but I've been thinking the last couple of days people say Justin Herbert's, at least a top 7 QB.
Right, yeah.
That's never affected the Chiefs winning that division or anything at all like that. So I just don't find that as long as we get our business done, we don't really have to worry about having a potential top 7 QB in our own division.
I think that's absolutely right, Chris, to bring that up. Because let's be honest, it's not that long ago we were having nearly an identical conversation about the AFC West when Wilson first went to Denver. Yes. The feeling was put every AFC West divisional game on primetime. It's going to be must watch. Kansas City's window closed. Good for them. They got their Super Bowl. It's done now.
And then we put ourselves to the hell of the Bills Broncos on Monday Night Football.
Right. Wilson was bad. Herbert, to be fair, and that's the thing with Herbert now, and I think we've gone long enough in his career. He's a wonderful physical athlete. He is exactly what you want in your prototypical quarterback. 6'6", a little weird with freak traits. Like, that's kind of what you want. And yet, what is he, 0-2 in the playoffs? Pretty horrific performances by Jacksonville and Houston. I mean, Houston, he throws 2 or 3 interceptions the whole year. He throws 4 against Houston in one playoff game.
Yep. And then Jacksonville, you collapsed a 27-point lead.
Yeah. And so, it's right. I mean, so I bring up all the positives with Drake May. Absolutely could just be the Herbert of the division of like, yeah, he's really good. It's hard for me to say he's great. Now, with that being said, I was not a Herbert truther when he came out of Oregon. I very much was a Drake May truther when he came out of North Carolina. His would have been sophomore season. He threw over 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, 7 picks. He was exceptional on an okay North Carolina team.
And it is interesting to bring up the case of like maybe that is what it ends up being in the Bills. And the Patriots become more of an annoying craw in the side in your division title, like how the Chiefs have gotten to that point with Denver.
Kind of what Miami's been for the Bills, where you beat them all the time, they're a little annoying.
You've already dealt with annoying second place little brother. You've been dealing with them for years, actually. That team has now fallen off of the face of the earth, and another one needs to take its place. Last year, you got none of it, and that's fine. But also, Miami gives you an annoying game. New England gives you an annoying game. The Jets give you an annoying game. All three of those are one-score victories. That's just football.
That's division football right there.
That's division football. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Very rarely we get blowouts.
Yeah, it's not something to worry about, concern yourself with. And again, I'm not with the people that are nervous about week one against Baltimore. If you lose to a great team, you lose to a great team. Because again, you said it. This team lost to Zach bleeping Wilson to open a season. Three plays of Aaron Rodgers, where he didn't look great anyway. And then they lose to Zach Wilson. There's zero, and I mean zero, way that it feels worse to lose to the Baltimore Ravens than it should to lose to Zach Wilson. So anyone that's going to blow up the phone lines on Monday if the Bills were to lose, God forbid, they've lost to Zach Wilson once. It's okay.
Chris, thanks for the call. Getting Connect to our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Coming up after the break, Kyle Goon, the Baltimore Banner, will join the show. We'll get a look in at the Ravens as the Bills get ready to take them on Sunday Night Football. It's only a few days away. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.